Hello, and welcome to the Texan Overtime Podcast. My name is Michael Shapiro. I'm a senior sports reporter and football beat writer for the Daily Texan. Join me as always after our two-week break. He looked really small next to Patrick Vahe at Deonta Foreman's press conference yesterday. Mr. Ezra Siegel. Ezra, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. That picture, he completely dwarfs me.
He dwarfed you. You looked like you were kind of sleepy, but I enjoyed it. You looked real. He looked like he kind of just like swaddle you to sleep if you wanted to.
I got a lot of people asking me if I even lift, bro.
Yeah, I saw that guy on Twitter. You didn't respond to him, or did you?
I gave him the little flex emoji.
Oh, that's good. I think that's a nice move. Also joining us is our associate sports editor and co-football beat writer. He's rocking the Tiger Woods hat, celebrating Tiger's triumphant return to the course today, Mr. Tyler Horka. Tyler, how's Tiger doing on Thursday?
He shot one over, so I hope the Cowboys do a little better than Tiger did today. Go Cowboys tonight.
-4 tied for the
lead at some point? He was tied for the lead after 8 holes and went 5 over from then on.
So, well, you know, it's going to be a struggle. I mean, he hasn't played, 15 months, is it?
Yeah, I saw enough good things in his game today that makes me think that maybe we can see some more of that down the road.
So you're a pro Tiger guy, I take it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Ezra, what about you? You have any thoughts?
Pro Tiger.
Yeah, he's a good. You know, he's the only reason golf's ever that exciting, in my opinion.
Right.
Yeah.
He's moving the needle in December. Need you say more?
Exactly. All right. Speaking of moving the needle, Texas football was all over the headlines for the past 2 weeks. I think last time we met was on Monday following the loss to Kansas, and Charlie Strug was still the head coach of the Longhorns. Well, he's not the head coach anymore, and Texas has a new guy. I think first, instead of talking about Tom Herman, we should take our time to reflect on the Charlie Strong tenure in Austin. Went 16-21 in 3 full seasons, yet did a lot of good things for the program, you know, in regards to recruiting and character of the kids that he brought in. Ezra, what is your central takeaway from the Charlie Strong era in Austin?
This is a guy who did everything he could to, you know, put the program on the right track. He, you know, he got rid of the people who weren't doing what they were supposed to, weren't buying in, weren't, you know, following team rules. He changed the culture. He got rid of the entitlement that, you know, was so prevalent in the team's locker room. You know, he brought in high character guys. You look at his sophomores, his freshmen, all, you know, very good people. But, you know, as good of a guy and as good of a recruiter as Charlie was, the wins weren't there. And, you know, after 3 years, 3 losing seasons, the first time that's happened since, I believe, the 1920s, I mean, you have to make a change at that point. I think Texas made the right move.
Tyler, what do you think?
You know, putting football aside to start, I mean, it says a lot about a guy for his players to support him all the way until the bitter end. I mean, they were wanting him to stay around. They had his back all the way through a loss to Kansas, and they really kind of had his back even through a loss to TCU. You see the next day, players still saying, man, this guy did so much for me. I can't thank him enough. But then getting back to football, like Ezra said, when you go 5-7 2 years in a row and you don't have a winning record in 3 years at a program like Texas, you're going to get the boot.
You know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, President Greg Fentonvez, Athletic Director Mike Perrin really wanted to do all they could to keep him around. But you can't go 16-21 in 3 years at Texas and expect to keep your job. And I think even Strong came to reckon with that following the, you know, presser following the TCU loss. He came into the podium and said, you know, I had 2 goals when I came here. One was to change lives. The other was to win a national championship. You know, while Texas didn't really come close to that national championship, you know, nowhere near even a Big 12 championship, I think he really did change the lives of a lot of these kids. You know, you look at Paul Boyette, who, you know, the Monday after the Kansas game stood in front of the media pretty much crying, saying, you know, Charlie Strong is the reason I'm the man I am today. Which is
credited Charlie for his marriage.
And Imani Boyette had a funny tweet saying, oh, I guess Charlie's the reason I'm married then, which is pretty funny. Ezra, what do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit last week during our emergency is Charlie fired or not podcast.
It was a fun podcast.
Wish I could have been here for it.
Yeah. But, you know, there's no question that after these 3 years, Charlie can hold his head high knowing that, you know, he did all the right things for this program. It's just a matter he couldn't get it done on the field. And I think, you know, It's tough to go out the way he did with 3 losing seasons, but, you know, you got to feel good about the way he handled his players and the way he changed his program.
I think a similar thing to Charlie's departure, kind of similar to Mac's departure, even though you can't compare the two guys coaching football, you know, Mac stayed here over 15 years and had just copious amounts of success. Charlie was here for 3 years and really didn't have much success at all. But I think players, fans, and even the administration at Texas, they're all wishing the best for Charlie Strong as he moves forward. And that's something that you really hope for as a fan. You don't want to leave bad terms with coach.
Truly no ill will towards Coach Strong. And we honestly, at least I do, and I assume you guys do, wish him the best in whichever endeavor he chooses to take, whether it's, you know, as a head coach next year, defensive coordinator, or a head coach further down the line. But, you know, Texas didn't take any time to find a new head coach, and we won't take any time to discuss the new head coach. Tom Herman was introduced on Sunday evening as the 30th head coach in the history of the Longhorns program. Ezra, you were at the press conference with me. What were your first impressions of Tom Herman upon taking the podium?
You know, there's no doubt that he said all the right things. And, you know, I think, honestly, my biggest takeaway from that was, one, you know, how much he loves his players. You know, I think, you know, the players were super emotional when Charlie left. You know, Charlie obviously was a really great guy and was really great with them, but I don't see any reason why the players shouldn't have that type of relationship with Tom Herman as well. You know, just the way he talked about his players and the way his old Houston players reacted when he left, like, there's clearly a great connection between him and his guys. And the other thing I thought was really interesting is how much he talked about recruiting at his first press conference. He essentially, you know, told all head coaches in the state of Texas that this is their program, that, you know, he's ready to, you know, take their talent and bring them to the next level at the university's flagship program, as he said. So, you know, those two things I thought were really, really well said, and I was pretty impressed.
Well, he doesn't have much time to kind of get the recruiting down. I mean, he comes into to a recruiting class that really isn't up to Charlie Strong standards,
just
so to say.
Just 7 commits right now, I believe.
Just 7 commits. So he's got, you know, not a lot of time to do a lot of work. What might take some time, in my opinion, is kind of gaining the love of the guys that are already here on the 40 acres. When they loved Charlie Strong so much and they did so much for Charlie Strong and Charlie Strong did so much for them, it's kind of hard to just move on to the new guy on campus right away. Like Ezra said, he said all the right things and he's a very likable guy, but I still think it might take a little bit of time for that, you know, love and affection between players and coach to come to fruition.
Well, winning will certainly cure all that. You know, if Texas goes out and has a quick start to the season, any memories of Strong from the former players will fade, you know, kind of into memory. What I thought was really interesting about Herman is he seems to be a guy who really relates to 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. You talk to the players at Houston, and he's kind of a hard ass at times on the practice field, but every single player who was interviewed said they knew how much that he loved them and how much he cared about them. And that's something he really stated in his press conference. He said, you know, leaving Houston was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I cried in front of them and added later, that's the kind of intensity I look to bring to the Texas football program. Ezra, you know, is there anything not to like with the Tom Herman hiring?
You know, I think the one thing that Texans fans will question at this point is, you know, he's kind of coming from a same sort of situation that Strong was. I mean, you know, Houston, not traditionally known as, you know, a football powerhouse recently. He had a lot of success there in 2 years, but you look at Charlie's record over his 2 years before coming to Texas, very similar. They both have the Urban Meyer connection. So there's a lot of coincidences. Having said that, you know, He doesn't have the most coaching experience, obviously, but, you know, it's tough to argue with the success that he's had as both a recruiter and, you know, a head coach and offensive coordinator. So I don't know if there's a ton not to like, unless my only reservation is, you know, the potential inexperience.
Well, another thing to like is, unlike Charlie Strong coming in here with kind of bare cupboards when Mac Brown really failed to recruit in his last few years, failed to assemble a really talented or quality roster, Tom Herman is going to walk into a team who last year was young, but in this upcoming season will be stacked. All these standout sophomores like Malik Jefferson will be juniors. Their freshmen will have a year to mature. I mean, thinking of Bouchel having a whole offseason to play with Devin Duvernay and Colin Johnson and build that rapport is going to be absolutely lethal. You know, expectations will be high. Texas is really going to have to come out early in the year and play at a high level and maintain those expectations and avoid things going haywire.
Yeah, I think the offensive mind that Tom Herman is, you look at the players that he's walking into offensively. You mentioned Shane Bouchel. Chris Warren is not going to be any slouch replacing Deontay Foreman. And the receiving core is just crazy loaded with Colin Johnson, Devin Duvernay. Armonte Foreman will be here for his senior year. I think Tom Herman's mind, coupled with all of these talented players, Texas fans could be seeing, you know, an offense that executes, for lack of a better term, down the stretch of the season. That's something that the Texas offense didn't do under Sterling Gilbert the latter half of the season.
You know, and he brings up a good point with the offense. That's, I think, you know, probably the major difference between Herman and Strong coming in. When you look at Strong, he's a guy, he wants to run, you know, a pro-style offense. He wants to run the ball. He wants to play tough defense. But Tom Herman is from, you know, the classic Texas background, the classic Texas spreads. You know, he's a guy who his system's going to fit right in with these high-powered Big 12 offenses, and it really took Charlie a long time to catch up to them. It took him till his third season. So I think, you know, it'll be a seamless transition for Herman and his scheme. And, you know, as, you know, Shap was just saying, there's a ton of talent on both sides of the ball, and I think, you know, he's just walking into a fantastic situation, whereas Charlie wasn't.
So certainly he will have a lot of talent. However, one guy he will be without next year is Deontay Foreman. Foreman declared for the draft on Wednesday in front of the Austin media alongside his brother Armonte. Tyler, you know, it's not really our place to say whether or not it was the right move, because who are we? We're just some kids, you know, in the Daily Texan basement. But, you know, you're a Daily Texan football writer. Do you think that Foreman made the right move going to the NFL?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not every year a guy runs for 2,000 yards, and he's the only one in the FBS to do it this year. So when your stock's the highest, that's when you got to go. And I think he absolutely made the right choice, though he might not get the individual accolade that, you know, pretty much every college football player dreams of, the Heisman Trophy. He certainly deserved it with the numbers that he had. Just Texas didn't back that up with wins on the field, but he's the clear choice for the Doak Walker in my eyes. So, I mean, he's going to be headed to the NFL with a little bit of hardware and, you know, a whole lot of upside.
Ezra, what do you think?
Yeah, I think there's no question. And, you know, he had a really good quote yesterday. He said he wanted to strike while the iron is hot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're not going to get much hotter than a 2,000-yard, 15-touchdown year like he had. He led the nation in rushing yards per game. I mean, like, it was just a special season from Deontay. And the other thing about him is he's got a prototypical NFL running back build. He's 6'1". He's 250 now. I guess this will cut down a little bit when he gets to the league.
235.
But, you know, he's a powerful guy that's going to, you know, he's going to stack up against NFL quality guys. So I think, you know, he definitely made the right decision.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement with you guys, not to completely echo your statements, but the shelf life for football players is really short.
Especially running backs
carrying the ball 50 times at the end of the season.
Charlie Strong, you know, probably didn't do Foreman that many favors, giving the ball so many times, but I guess he had to save his job. You got to get your money when you can, man. And they asked Deontay, you know, where do you want to go? And he said, whoever wants to give me some money, which, you know, he said it, you know, kind of sheepishly, but it's true. Like, the running back average span of the NFL, I think, is 3.2 years. And if you really have a chance to maximize, you know, the money you can get and the limited carries you have in your body, you got to go out there. You got to get paid. So, you know, he will be selecting the NFL draft. We know that. Ezra, where do you think he'll be picked with your, you know, kind of mock prognostication here?
Yeah, so I've been pretty interested in this for a while. I've been really keeping up with it. And it's interesting because you have some guys who are putting him as high as top 20 and then other guys who have him in the third round. But I think, you know, that's pretty much the range. I think, you know, if a team falls in love with him, if he has a good combine, really impresses people in workouts, I could definitely see him as, you know, up there in the first round, but I also could see him falling because this is a really stacked running back class.
It really is. You look at Fournette, Nick Chubb,
Dalvin Cook,
possibly, you know, McCaffrey, which, you know, I don't know how much his skills really translate, but that's another story. You know, Tyler, do you think that Chris Warren, Kyle Porter will be able to fill the void for Foreman once he's gone, you know, running on Sundays?
Well, I'm not so sure about Kyle Porter when he came in relief of Foreman, just when Foreman needed a breather. I mean, he did all right. He's got great burst for the size back that he is, but I think that's what he's going to be. He's going to be a change of pace back to Chris Warren. And if you guys remember at the beginning of the season, it was kind of a two-headed monster. They didn't really know if Chris Warren was the guy or Foreman was the guy, and then Warren's injury kind of gave way to Foreman being the guy. But I think that Chris Warren can definitely shoulder the load in the backfield, and he's another huge running back pushing 250 pounds himself. And 2 years ago, we saw him break out kind of against Texas Tech and just have crazy runs. I think the longest play from scrimmage in Texas history. I might be wrong on that, but I think he had close to like a 90-yard run. Mm-hmm. He's a great running back for sure.
Yeah, as we said, you know, Foreman is clearly a special player, but I'm not sure we'd be talking about him in the same light if Warren was healthy all year. I mean, you look at the last two games Warren played before he got hurt. Both running backs had over 100 yards. You know, Warren was ripping off big games just like Deontay was, so, you know, I think Texas is in extremely good hands at the running back spot. I think Warren is definitely a special player as well, and I'm excited to see what he can do is with the lead back role next year.
Well, it seems like Texas running back situation, wow, will probably take a hit because it can't really, you know, go up at all. Will be pretty strong next year, and good luck to Deontay in the NFL. Football season's done. Boys, we all did our good job covering it. We didn't get fired, which was nice. Ezra, thanks for not dismissing Tyler and I from the beat. Moving on, kind of transfer our eyes to Texas basketball, which, like Texas football, is really underachieving right now and is really struggling.
They just can't score the ball, can they?
They can't put the ball in the basket. They lost to UTA by double-digit points the other night. Ezra, you've been going to the games covering for the Dallas Morning News. What's wrong with this team, man?
Yeah, I think the biggest issue, as you guys said, is there is no semblance of an offense on this team. You look at it, the only one really consistently putting the ball in the basket is Tevin Mack, who's really had, you know, a rejuvenated sophomore year. And he's been fantastic leading the Longhorns and scoring. But, you know, they were expecting guys like Kerwin Roach and Eric Davis and Jared Allen to carry the load this year. Look at that UT Arlington game. Kerwin Roach turned the ball over 6 times. Eric Davis shot 0 for 8 from the field. You know, those aren't the numbers that are going to, you know, have you beat anybody, as we saw. And, you know, Jared Allen has flashed the talent. You know, he's lived up to his high 5-star status, but, you know, he's still a freshman. And I don't think he can do it alone. And, you know, it's definitely going to be interesting to see how Shaka Smart, you know, adjust these rotations going forward, because clearly something needs to be fixed.
I think before the season, Eric Davis said that he wants to be the go-to guy, right? He wants to take the shots when the game's on the line. And now he's shooting, I don't know, I haven't been covering the games.
I believe he's shooting like 20% from three and 31% from the field, just atrocious numbers.
He's having a rough year.
You can't be a go-to guy when you're shooting 30% from the field, and he's not alone in that. I think Tevin Mack, like you said, is really the only guy to, you know, make those shots, and it's good to see him make those shots because he was a guy just last year who wasn't really making those shots. So, I mean, I think the main thing for Texas is they need consistency, especially offensively, and they definitely don't have that right now.
The guy they really miss the most, you think, is Isaiah Taylor, because the problem with the Horns right now is on possessions and nights and halves, when you need to give a guy the ball and he'll go get a bucket for you, it just doesn't exist. You know, in theory, it can be Eric Davis, but he can't shoot right now. Kerwin Roach doesn't have the jumper. You know, Jared Allen is a big man. And B is 18 years old, so he can't be expected to do that in November. Last year, a lot of Texas possessions would start stalled, and the clock would bleed for 22 seconds, and Taylor would have a drive to the bucket or a pull-up jumper. Who is going to fill that role for Taylor? Because someone's going to fill it, probably not as well, but someone's going to have to be the guy to take those shots late in games.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a couple candidates. One, we mentioned Tevin Mack, because, you know, he's... I think a lot of people thought he could be a breakout player this year, but I think he's sort of surpassed expectations so far. He's shooting just a lethal percentage from three. He's shown the ability to shoot off the dribble, which, you know, is impressive considering what he did last year. But I also think Andrew Jones, the freshman guard, has that potential. You see this guy. He's a guy who makes plays off the dribble. He sets up his teammates. And he's also flashed a really nice three ball. So I think, you know, by the end of this year, I would not be surprised at all to see Andrew Jones be, you know, one of the team's best players.
Yeah, and I mean, on the bright side for Texas, you look at Jones, who's a freshman from Irving. Roach and Davis are both sophomores. This backcourt is young, and if there's anything we know about college backcourts, is they're not the same players in November and December as they are in February and March. So, you know, Tyler, it's really going poorly right now, but is there anything to really be bullish on with these Longhorns right now?
Shoot, man, I really don't know. I think one guy we might have overlooked would be Kerwin Roach. He's not really the safety valve that, you know, an Isaiah Taylor was, but he's shown some ability to get to the rim, and there's really not many other guys on the team who can get to the rim and finish. Like you said, Shap, he's kind of missing a jumper, and, you know, jumpers are huge safety valves when the clock gets low. But, you know, this is a Shaka Smart coach team, and we've seen what Shaka Smart does with teams throughout, you know, the course of single seasons. They're going to make a push through Big 12 play. I mean, they were picked second in the Big 12 before the season started, so I wouldn't completely lose hope, but there's some work to be done for sure.
Yeah, and to be fair to Shaka, you know, the team had a really slow start last year. I believe they started below 500 for at least 5-6 games last year as well.
Yeah, the nightmarish China trip.
Yeah, the nightmare China trip, and then the battle for Atlantis. Not a great start. But, you know, Shaka said before the season that, you know, he was sort of expecting this. He said this team, despite you know, being ranked, I believe, number 22 or 21 to start the year. He said, you know, this team is far from a ranked team, and they have a lot to work on. But, you know, he did say he thinks that the team has the potential by the end of the year could be up there with those top 25 teams. So I think it'll be interesting. It's hard to doubt Shock after what he did last year. I mean, the team was so improved from the end of the year to the beginning of the year. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's definitely a waiting game and a patience game for Texas fans right now to see how these Longhorns can improve over the next few weeks.
One more thing I must say is when you're pushing to get into the NCAA tournament, though, and you're trying to get to that, you know, 20-win plateau is usually where it's at, you kind of have to win games against UTA and Northwestern and maybe in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Buffs are okay. Buffs are a great football team. Let's go Buffs. I always say it. You know, here's the good news for Texas. They don't start conference play until December 30th. So they got, you know, just under a month to kind of figure things out. Then they, you know, have some home games early in their conference play, and, you know, they'll get smoked by some teams. You know, they'll travel to Kansas and get beat, and they'll, you know, probably travel to Iowa State and get beat. But that's what college basketball is. It's about figuring out who you are early in the season so you can make a push late. And I certainly believe in Shaka Smart to kind of get this team going, you know, as you roll into February and late conference play, and I assume you guys do as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree. As I said, you know, Shaka is a very good coach. We've seen it before from him here. We've seen him at VCU, and I have no doubt that, you know, this team, it might not be what a lot of people expected it to be, you know, top 25 team, but I have no doubt it will be better, you know, by the end of the season.
I think I said in an earlier podcast that this is a 4 or 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. I'm going to retract from that statement.
Probably good move.
But I will say I think Shaka is going to make a real push to get this team into the tournament and win his first tournament game as head coach of Texas.
You know, Ezra, you said that, you know, he was saying, kind of cautioning people that, you know, they're not as good as their ranking. Just made me think of my favorite thing every year is John Calipari walks up to the podium with this Kentucky team. He goes, this team isn't any good. They're nowhere close to the guys last year. And then they rattle off like 27-2 in the regular season. You guys have any closing thoughts for Texas basketball, Texas football, the year in Longhorn sports? Ezra, you might have the worst winning percentage of any football writer in Texan history.
Yeah, 2-5-7 seasons. Not doing too well for me on the football beat.
Do you think it's your fault?
I 100% believe it's my fault.
It has to be. I think, you know, we brought it up over Twitter, which is kind of a weird thing to say since I'm talking to you guys now, but we should probably send you off to Waco or you know, Lubbock or College Station. That would probably be best for all of us.
Yeah, I couldn't even blame you if you wanted that.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully with Ezra off the beat next year, things will be going better. Maybe Tyler will improve it. Maybe I will. We'll see. Tyler, any closing thoughts on the year?
I think maybe I should jump back on the women's basketball beat because they're not doing too well without me either. I think they already have a couple losses this season. To be fair to them, though, their schedule is just dreadfully hard.
They got South Carolina tonight, and they head to UConn. That's going to be brutal. Volleyball's doing fine without me. You know, number 4 in the country. Maybe they'll make another Final Four. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, everybody. This will be our final episode of the semester of the Texan Overtime Podcast. I hope everyone has a nice holiday break and some final studying for everyone, I'm sure. Tyler, Ezra, it's been a real joy to podcast with you guys every week. Had some good conversation and certainly made a better podcast as the semester went on. So that's all we can ask for.
I hope so.
Yeah, hope so. Right? I hope our listeners, you know, however many of you there are out there, I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we'll see you next semester. Thanks, guys.
This podcast was produced by The Daily Texan, hosted by Michael Shapiro, Ezra Siegel, and Tyler Horka. Be sure to tune in next semester for our next episode. You can always find more news at dailytexanonline.com.